And one of the things is you have appreciation things, and some you think, well, you know, you get rid of them, as it even says in the Bible. Some things you get rid of, you know, they're time for childish things, and the honor flight is one of those. Mark, last week on a Tuesday, you got to fly to Washington, D.C. with your father. Korean War veteran?
Yes.
I mean, that's got to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, right?
It probably will be. My dad has Parkinson's, and it's hard for him to get around anymore. And so we figured if he didn't make it this year, he probably wouldn't have another chance to go, because his Parkinson's would get worse, and he probably wouldn't have this opportunity
85?
Again. 85 years old, a Marine. You know what they say, once a Marine, always a Marine. So he's an 85-year-old Marine who wanted to try, and it was a little difficult for him to get around. But I tell you what, the staff of the Honor Flight, they were all incredible. You know, we were talking before, you research everything, Tom, and they researched everything. They anticipated any issues. They provided wheelchairs for those veterans who couldn't walk or couldn't walk long distances. They had staff in place to assist us every step of the way. And it was an incredible experience. When I came back, people were saying, was it fun? Did you have a good time? I wouldn't describe it as fun.
It's something else, isn't it?
It is. It's entirely different. You walk away with a newfound respect for our military. It was emotional at times. My focus on Tuesday was all on my dad. You know, is he going to be okay? Is he going to see what he wants to see? Is he going to be able to make it through the day? And so it wasn't really until Wednesday that I started reflecting back on the things that I saw in Washington, D.C. And I have memories that will stay with me the rest of my life.
And your father, too.
Yes.
Yeah, because boys and their dads at war.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to get into the beginning of that story.
Well, you know, it's just being able to be with your dad and just hear his stories. And it was like that for so many of us on the flight. Even those guardians who went along, every veteran had a guardian. And those guardians who didn't know their veteran before this, they made connections and heard stories and, you know, sitting on the plane with people, talking across the aisle, listening to stories. And it wasn't all about war. A lot of it was, here's what I did when I came home from war, and this is what I did with my family. So just some great conversations.
You know, Vice Admiral Nancy Brown is joining us here. It has to start somewhere. There was an honor flight that came through Williamson County Airport going somewhere else, took some of our veterans. This, I think, people, we need to point out, this is the first of the Southern Illinois chapter. Now, a couple of gentlemen showed up at the harbor, location, the Cove, not far from here, the Haven. Thank you. And it turned out the night that started, the guy who turned me on to the honor flight, Doug Kimmel at the Williamson County Airport, was sitting next to a guy named Questel. And he says, I'm here to talk about the honor flight. So am I. Coincidence? Mm-hmm. Meh. I don't think so, but we'll leave it at that. And not long after that, you came online. And here's the thing that I thought was interesting, Admiral. The speed in which the funds were raised to achieve this flight on its projected date to get the flight reserved, that took a lot of people working very hard to be able to make that happen financially.
Well, it really did, and we were so pleased to see the support from the local community and the generosity. I think people were a little skeptical at first that, you know, they weren't sure we could really do it, but as we made progress and as we got more publicity, people thought, well, you know, maybe they can do it, and I'm going to contribute, and I want to volunteer. And so we had a swell of volunteers at the airport Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night, you can't describe in words what happened.
All right, so while we're doing that, so how many people did you call that you knew on the East Coast to make sure there were lots of people waiting for them when they got there in Washington? How many people did you call?
Well, I may have reached out and touched a couple of folks, but American Airlines does a phenomenal job at arranging arrival ceremonies for everybody.
Good.
I mean, I was fortunate that I have connections in D.C., a lot of good friends, and they all came out. And I was really surprised when we got off that plane, and they were all there. But
well, you weren't too surprised by one person.
I'm not sure where we're going with this, but my husband is listening, so be careful.
His name's Pete, right?
My husband?
Yeah.
His name's Pete.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Hossman?
Hesser.
Hesser, is that
Hesser.
It? Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't remember everything all the time.
I know.
It happens to a problem of youth when it goes away. I want to read a small clip from a from an article that was written about their arrival in Washington. From the author. It says, I expected the feeling of excitement, but truly wasn't ready for the look of appreciation on the vets' faces. This is like landing in Washington, D.C. Their smiles lit up the entire terminal. Their eyes shined like a newly polished Medal of Honor. Their hands, which decades ago held radios, rifles, and wounded buddies, eagerly reached out to accept the welcoming crowd. With a look of excitement on his face, one vet said, this is better welcome than when I returned from Korea. All I heard then was, oh, you're home. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that moved me the most. And this was a person who had experience with you in the past and writes an article for, which I do not know what it is, called AFCEA, which apparently you do know who it is, because this person said you called them as a personal favor, said please come out here and do that, and they were incredibly moved by what happened there at the airport.
Well, that's the Armed Forces Communications Electronics Association, and it's a professional organization that I've been a member of for a long time, and they publish a magazine called Signal, and so she happens to be an author for Signal magazine, and we've had a connection for a long time. I've been an AFCEA member for a long time.
Since the days after 9/11,
and
when you met her.
That's correct. And several of the AFCEA folks were there at the airport that morning.
That welcome into D.C. because, you know, when you're a country boy, you think, well, nobody know whether I get there or not. And then you get there, and I think there's a sense of just, oh, I don't know how to use the words. There's something that goes on there. What word do you use?
Well, it was phenomenal. I mean, it really was. And we try to keep that kind of a secret from the veterans that are on the flight. So it really is a surprise when they get off that plane and they see the welcome. And there were 121 grade school children there, all dressed in red, white, and blue with flags. And one of the moments that she writes about, I think, in her article is when one of the veterans came off and was in a wheelchair, and when the little girl came over to him to give him a lei, because they had red, white, and blue star leis for everybody, he got up out of the wheelchair in order to get it, because he didn't want her to give it to him while he was in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And that still chokes me up.
Yeah.
And we knew that there was going to be some kind of reception for us in Washington, D.C., but I mean, the Guardians knew that, and the staff knew that, but we were surprised at the extent of that. You know, you hear we're still on the plane. We're hearing music playing. We're hearing cheering. We're like, what is going on out there? And then when you come out and you walk that gauntlet, and of all those people greeting you, it was just, it was indescribable, really.
Right. And you and I only get the glow off of it. We're not actually the recipients. Just being close to it, it's like being next to a bonfire.
Yeah.
Except the fire's not for us.
Right. But then to see those veterans treated like that, it just...
Well, see, there.
Fantastic.
Here's the thing, Mark. Let's talk about this treatment thing for just a couple of moments, okay? Because what we're talking about here is probably a long time in coming. The reference here from Korean War is, oh, you're home. The war that wasn't a war. I mean, my good friend George Mace, who passed away recently, would have loved to have seen him on the flight. You know, Professor George Mace, and he's a guy whose takeaway was, damn, it was cold in Korea. Holy, you know, I got my friend Curly. He passed away not too long ago. He was in a hole eating MREs. Well, they weren't MREs then, were they? Every day somebody would push a box into that hole with him and another guy, and he was there for a month in a hole. No cable, by the way, in a hole in the middle of the Battle of the Bulge. I would love to see those guys get a chance. But they're one of the 640 that die every day. That's why there's a sense of urgency that I think is a subtext here, Admiral.
Well, there definitely is. And we want to make sure we reach out and can get in touch with all of the veterans in Southern Illinois, because there's not a lot of time left. This is the final chapter in many of their lives, and we want them to have the opportunity to experience those memorials that were built in their honor, you know, to recognize the service, the sacrifice. And when you see the expressions on their faces, and the different emotions that they experience when they see that memorial for the first time, whether it's the World War II or the Korean or even the Vietnam, it just tells you you're doing the right thing.
You know,
and,
don't
and,
you?
And everything you've done to get them there has been well worth it.
Because it's interesting when you think about this way. From if you try to put yourself in the other guy's shoes, you and I just referenced a couple of moments ago when you're with them and they get this reception, you feel the glow. And when those guys go to the memorials, they don't feel the glow about them. They feel about their friends they lost.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And those that didn't
and so
come
we're
back.
Really third degree burns
right.
from this glow.
Well, and it was very emotional for many of them as they walked up and they touched the walls of either the Vietnam Memorial.
The desire for the tactile touch. This is what it's about.
Yeah. And then it was just... there was one gentleman, and I don't recall his name. He was with Tom Harness. He was the veteran with Tom Harness.
Logan.
Who was a
Mr.
CB.
Logan. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have time to hit the CB memorial. And so one of our police escorts, which the police escorts, they guided us throughout the city all day long.
Oh,
with
good.
Us from start to finish, getting us through traffic jams. They were fantastic. And we would not have been able to see the things we saw if it hadn't been for them
because
of the traffic.
Yeah.
And so, but one of those officers took Tom and Logan to the CB Memorial, and Tom posted video of that man walking up there in tears, touching that memorial, and it meant so much to him. And so it was like that, you know, 50 times over that day.
Right. And 50 was the number, 50 volunteers. The flight had to be booked, I think, like January 5th by then for the departure on, I believe, April 17th or 24th, something like that. And so you took 50 and then the volunteers that were going out. Now, here's the deal. We just and you hear things and you wonder how this happens because the Washington, D.C. police are helping you get around because they know what's going on. There's a national arm. There's a cooperative effort going on. Now, what I read in math was that for every 15,000 we garner here and raising here, the National Foundation adds 15,000. Is that how that works? I'd read that at one point.
Well, it's they do have a grant program, and so once we raised a certain amount of money, we were eligible to apply for a grant from them.
I got it.
And you can only get a grant once a year, and it's a different amount based on how long you've been operational.
Oh, okay.
And you have to use it in the year that they give it to you.
Right.
So that it was critical this time that the grant really helped us get to our goal in time to reserve and pay for the aircraft so that we could make the April 25th date.
Okay, April 25th. Good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Admiral. All right, so this is really the item for me. We're losing more. It's interesting. You know, during the first Iraq War, I did a couple of letter writing campaigns out of, went to the mall, supplied paper, pencil, addresses, and people wrote letters for email. And that's when I started looking down this list and where they were from, you see a town like Elkville that's got like 125 people, mm-hmm. except there are 75 of them serving in the military in Iraq. I mean, you mm-hmm. see these weird numbers. Rural America, really, you know, statistically speaking, there's a lot of these veterans out here in our communities. And this desire to help them, of course, we talked about the death rate in this age category, and then, of course, the money restraints. So what's the plan for the next flight, and how are we set financially to be able to meet that need?
So we've really done well financially. We are well on our way to being able to pay for a second flight, and we're targeting the fall, October, November. And as I'm in touch with American Airlines right now, trying to find out the availability of charter aircraft and to try and nail down a date. And we're pretty confident that we're going to have the funds to do that.
Good.
We still have a little way to go, but...
Well, a lot of fundraising efforts, churches, cook sales, all kinds of things
right.
going on.
Well, in fact, I don't know if Mark knows this, but I met his folks at Carterville at the mm-hmm. Methodist Church.
On May 4th, their dinner.
And talked to his mom about how to get the application in, because we'd already kind of closed down accepting applications. But I said, you give it to me, we'll do it tonight, or, we want to get him on the flight. So that was that, again, coincidence? I don't know.
I know coincidence, and there's sometimes where I'm, we'll call it just math for the day. You're an information officer. We'll go with math, okay?
And Tom, we talked about the greeting in Washington, D.C., but the greeting when we got home that night from the people of Southern Illinois, this was an event that was spread only by word of mouth. And it wasn't publicized. We were trying to keep it a secret.
Well, I did. I publicized the hell out of it.
We were trying to keep it a secret from the veterans, so there wasn't a whole lot of publicity that went out on it. And people of Southern Illinois responded.
Yeah.
My wife arrived at the airport after waiting in line. She pulls up. It's 8:30, so still almost an hour before our plane arrived. And a police officer there who was directing her where to park said, there's only 4,000 people in front of you. So I don't know how many actually arrived, but that greeting from the people of Southern Illinois was one of the highlights of my life. And it speaks about the people of Southern Illinois and their support for one another and for our military.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we believe there were close to 10,000 people.
Wow.
In and around the airport that night.
Right. I knew it was a huge turnout. Mm-hmm. So, I'm looking forward to the next one. And I'm looking forward to finding ways to help.
Well, the other thing is, those who are interested in going, I just want to assure people, because I know a lot of people out there, the veterans who go are older, and they're concerned about their well-being. I just want to say the staff was fantastic. They had everything planned out. It was our first one. So are there things that could have been planned out a little better? Perhaps. But I tell you what, for our first honor flight from Southern Illinois, I was so impressed with how everything was organized. The men and women were well taken care of. They had medical staff there in case they were needed. Everything was, the meals that were given to us and laid out, the reception there, the reception when we got back to Reagan before we departed, everything, the Navy Memorial, where the Admiral actually came out and greeted the people who were there. They had it so well planned out. People were so well taken care of. And like when we arrived at Reagan to that greeting, not only do you arrive to this fantastic greeting, but there are people ushering you through and showing you exactly where to go. So you're in this fast track the whole time, no delays. So
that cannot be understated.
No.
You know, because they don't get the same treatment by the TSA I get. That's a good thing. Get them through. Let them know that we're good to go. We're running out of time, and I hate that fact, but nevertheless, it is. Admiral, before I let you go today, as this program continues across Southern Illinois, somebody right now, because we all know here in this room, that, and my dad is a prime example. What'd you do in the war, Dad? I got some pictures. I had to sneak the pictures out of his closet and look at his medals, right? He's not talking to me about it. Boy, he meets another guy that he served with, can't pull him apart. But for me, he got much to say about it. And we may find that he's not the only one. Our experience is they're often reserved, saying, I'm not the hero the other guy was, the ones that didn't come home. The ones that are home, that are heroes, who have family members aware of this service, how do they get in touch with you? How do they get their father, mother, whoever the case, interested? How do you sign up? How do you learn more about Honor Flight and possibly get your father or grandfather to D.C.?
All you need to do is go to veteranshonorflight.org. And the applications are there. The information about requirements and eligibility are there. You can fill the application out online. And, you know, Mark was the perfect guardian. And he's the kind of person we're looking for to be guardians. And the staff, you know, there's only a few of us. The guardians are the ones that are really responsible for the safety and security of our veterans. And our veterans are our crown jewels, and we've got to take care of them. So the guardian is critical for that day. And so if you want to be, if had any interest in being a guardian, please go to veteranshonorflight.org, fill out an application, and have one of these life-changing experiences of going to D.C. with one of these veterans. And you will connect, and you will make a lifelong connection. It's a wonderful experience, and I encourage everyone, whether you have any any military experience or you have anybody in your family who has, you can be a perfect guardian to take care of someone, and you will not you can't even imagine how it's going to change your life.
I often say the day that you find out it's not about you is one of the best days you'll ever have. Mm-hmm. And this may be the opportunity for you, even if you're in the funnel now, to find out you made a good call when you made the decision to end life, not about me.
That's right.
Vice Admiral, U.S. Navy retired, Nancy Brown. Real genuine pleasure to meet you. It's not going to be the last time we're going to get together. You and I know that already.
Okay. Well, all I right? hope not.
And your husband wrote some very nice things about you online.
My goodness, I didn't see that.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He wrote some really nice things about you online. Let me just take a look at one. Let's see where this is at. Great comments by Marianne. Nobody knows Nancy better than me. I'm married to her. All should know that not only did Nancy spearhead Southern Illinois' first honor flight, she also participated in over 50 graveside services, a member of the VFW ritual team. Finding a way to honor our veterans is extremely important to her, and giving back is what she's all about.
Well, thank
we're all
going
to cry before it's over. You just want to get it done now? I'm not made out of stone here. Okay?
I told Pete the other day, he has an amazing wife, and I know because I have an amazing wife. Nancy has been just incredible through this whole process since I've got to know her. So Southern Illinois can be very proud of Nancy
50
Brown.
Graveside services in a time right now where there's not a lot of people that voice interest and go out and participate. You doing 50. Thank you. Thank you for the service, too. Mark, get out.
All right.